Very warm greetings to you, brethren. Great to be with you once again from Toronto, Canada. And finally, we are getting some spring. The leaves came out a couple of weeks ago, and it's still not quite what we'd like it to be in June. The breezes are still cool from the north. It's not warm and soft, but I hopefully that will come sometime in the not too distant future. We're happy to get the wretched winter behind us. It was one of the worst in terms of duration and frigid temperatures. So we're very grateful, because when it's 25, 30, 35, 40 below with the wind, that's a bit much for anybody, even for a true blue Canadian like me. So we're very thankful. We're very grateful. And you know, brethren, using those two words, grateful and thankful, was something that Mr. Armstrong emphasized over and over and over, if you recall. And he said on occasion, are we truly grateful and are we thankful for the many and numerous blessings God has shown to us and he continues to show to us? What I want to do this morning is a Bible study, really, that examines this consideration and the tremendous thankfulness we need to have regarding the many blessings we have from God. Because we have so much to be grateful for, don't we? Tremendous amount to be grateful for. If you really stop and consider it and think about it, you'll realize it as much as I do. And putting this together made me think of it even more. I hope to show you that there are many blessings that we have access to that you may never have thought of before, that they were actually blessings. We'll see how that goes. I'll let you consider that thought. My title, if you want a title, is Remember Your Many Blessings. And you know, with Pentecost on the horizon, that's certainly, for me, it's something to think about in many regards. When you look at our society as a whole, they do not recognize, they don't consider, they don't think about, I don't think for the most part, their collective blessings in life. What do they talk about? What do your co-workers talk about? Well, people in the various lineups in a store or wherever it might be, what do they talk about? What they don't have. What they can't have. They talk about what they want. I need this, I want that, how come I can't have it, how come they've got it and she's got it, and I'm like this. You hear this kind of stuff all the time. Our self-serving, impersonal, inward-consumed, self-gratifying society does not consider its individual and collective blessings. Just turn the news on, listen around you. The news, the programs on television, everything, all reflect our society, and they're not thankful for very much at all. As members of God's true church, we are not self-consumed and focused only on ourselves, are we? Or are we? Do we miss the boat on occasion and forget to count the incredible blessings of God or from God, what he's bestowed on us? Do we ever take them for granted? Do you take them for granted? Do I take them for granted? We can get caught up looking at all the bad and discouraging news and events around us and forget to look at our many blessings, because they are manifold. They're tremendous. There's so much involved in what God is doing. As he manages this world, he manages this universe, he manages us. And that's quite a job, I think, for all. God can do it, but you wonder sometimes, how does he do it? The way that we are as human beings. We can't change the news, that's for sure. But we can change ourselves, and we will receive many more blessings from God as we obey him. And that, brethren, is the key. Obedience. The day of Pentecost is just around the corner. And I wonder, could you imagine life without the Holy Spirit of God? I can't. Well, I know, I guess I can, when I consider back the way my life was, what I was like before baptism and receiving the Spirit. Without it, we could not understand the truth of God. You realize that? You couldn't really understand it. We could not build a relationship with God without His Spirit residing within us. Without it, we can't truly love each other and forgive each other when we have issues, when issues arise between us. Right? We should have purely learned that at Passover. No need to repeat that. We should know that. We should understand that. You know, I don't know about you, but over the years, you hear of people saying, oh, I wonder why did God call me this time, and it's such a struggle, man. I've got this to do and that to do. It'd be so much easier if I could wait for a different time, and it wouldn't be so tough. You know, I've never said that. I've never said, why did God call me in this life? Never thought about it, actually. I do recall when we were being called, there were occasions when I wondered what was going on in our lives. When my wife wanted to have a church visit, or at least a visit from the ministry, and I didn't want one. I didn't want to change. Anyway, it all worked out. That's the main thing. But you know, you look at your life, you say, well, I could be doing something else today. Yeah, so can I. I could be out golfing. And I wouldn't have to be tithing. I could hang on to more of my money. Yippee! I could do this and I could do that, whatever it might be. No, in retrospect, brethren, I am pleased that He did call me now. Because knowing that the path I was on as a human being, I would either be dead or in prison. Lots of things I was doing that were wrong, lots of influences that were around me, it wouldn't have been healthy. I would never have met Eileen for my wife and partner. I'm certain of that. I'm certain that God brought us together. He knew what He was doing. You know, the troubles and the trials and the struggles in life, we've had our share during our 51 years of marriage. We've had many. But brethren, that is all in the past, because blessings galore have always followed. Blessings have always followed. We don't always get what we want anyway, and it doesn't matter. What does God want? He's leading, He's guiding, He's directing our lives. He's got a plan and a purpose for us. And I don't want to get in the way of His plan, His purpose, and I'm sure I do on many occasions, as you do. For most in society, the Bible is talking to them in a language difficult for them to understand. And it was deliberate. Because it was going to be for those, only for those, that God would call to completely and thoroughly and eventually understand it all. There are many things that we don't have a total grasp on today, obviously. It doesn't matter. We have our hands and our minds wrapped around the basics, the things that count, the things that Christ placed in the church through Mr. Armstrong to make sure that we could hold on to it, that we wouldn't falter. Wouldn't wonder, is this right, is that right? Did Mr. Armstrong know what he was talking about? Is this doctrine right? Yes, they're right. I've often had to say that to people. You forget where you're coming from. You forget what, you know, the past. You forget who Mr. Armstrong was. Yeah, we don't worship the man. I've had people say that to me. No. We honor his past. We honor and pay tribute to his life and what he brought to us, and what we need to hang on to. For this world, the Bible is a witness against them. It's a witness to their behavior. Just like today, everyone's running around trying to figure out solutions to their problems that they face. Right? That's all you hear on the news programs, politicians. They'll say, we need more of this. We need more of that. We need another president. We need another person being elected. We need another political party. We need. We need more police. We need more laws. No. You know what they need, brethren? Do you know what they need? It's one word. They need repentance. Because every single problem we have is a spiritual problem. And God's looking for repentance in us, which is an ongoing state that we need to be in. And obviously, at some point in time for this entire world, as they will learn when God deals with them. You know, I'm just looking at a scripture here in John chapter 6, verse 44, 45. You know these well. Christ made an astonishing statement. I think he did. Let's just look that up for a second here. John 6, verse 44. You can probably recite it yourself. He said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father will come unto me." The Father is going to draw us, and the Father is going to teach us. And God the Father did draw us, did give us to Christ to take care of. Verse 50, Christ describing himself, he said, "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat, therefore, and not die." He said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Most of us have been in the church for a number of years now, but do we fully grasp the magnitude of what Christ did when he was doing it, when he was here? The magnitude of what he did, what he said, what he lived, what he showed. The magnitude of what Christ did when he was doing it, when he was here. To come here and become a human being. Now that's certainly going from a spirit being to a human being. You know, that's quite a drop in stature. When you stop and think about it, knowing how fallible we are. Being subject to all sorts of influences and problems, yet he never sinned. He never sinned. He was tempted by Satan, but he never gave in. He always acquiesced toward his Father. He came and he was faithful to God through everything. You can read that. Faithful, absolutely faithful in everything. And he came to prepare the New Testament church. And he was willing to lay down his life. Lay down his life. Now that's heavy duty stuff, if you ask me. And I think about that, the magnitude of how grateful we need to be, how thankful we need to be, how blessed we are to be under that. You know, you hear the Protestants talking so often, and I have to ask myself, you know, do they really understand when you think about how much of the New Testament did the apostles have to begin their ministry? And how much? How about none? They preached from the Old Testament through the prophecies of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Interesting, isn't it? Tell that to a Protestant who can't find his way out of the New Testament. Most can't. And I've had many discussions with different people, part of my family actually in the United States. They get so locked in, so tunnel vision, they won't even listen to an alternative. Not trying to teach them, just show them something. Won't even listen. Won't entertain the thought. Someday they will. I had my one brother-in-law, he's in his 80s, and he said, "Well, I don't care what happened." He said, "I know I'm not well, but when I die tomorrow, I know where I'm going." And I thought to myself, so do I. You're going to the grave. Well, he'll learn that someday. Psalm chapter 34. Verse 8. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8. Beautiful scriptures here. So much from the book of Psalms. Psalm 34 and verse 8. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." That's speaking about you and me, brethren. Blessed are we if we trust in him. And we do trust in him, don't we? We do, absolutely. That means you live your life with the word of God. And that brings blessings and it brings understanding. Look at the world around us. They don't know anything but lying and cheating and war and killing and shooting and stabbing each other and all the things that go on in our society. Our city here in Toronto has just been getting worse in leaps and bounds every month. It's amazing. Where is God in all of this? Where is God? I'll tell you, he's not here because lawlessness reigns. lawlessness reigns. You have to live by every word of God, and blessed is he who takes refuge in him. That's us, and that's where we take our refuge. There's no refuge in me personally, no refuge in you, no refuge in a man or a woman. You know, our only refuge is when we're on our knees before Almighty God, praying and asking for help and strength, for wisdom, understanding, perception, all the things that we need to make it through this life. All that then translates into loving God, doesn't it? If we rely on him, if we understand, we love God. Brethren, we have been called and chosen by God. I know you've heard this 1,000 times, but I'm going to tell you once more. We've been called and chosen by God for the greatest and most important part of his plan, his great plan, to bring peace, to bring love, and to bring the knowledge and the truth of God to a confused, screwed up, messed up, shattered, scattered world. That is quite a task that lies ahead. And you, I'm sure you'd sit back and think about it, that we're going to have an opportunity to be a part of that. I could hardly wait, if God sees fit, that I'm going to be a part of that, to help people, to bless them, to put our arms around their shoulders, to hold their hands, those who are weeping and crying and upset. Show them the way. Show them. Teach them. Help them to understand and get to know God. Then there will truly be peace and love and concern. All those things that we want, that we can see amongst ourselves in the church. I want to see that in the world. It's going to come. It's going to come. Notice Psalm 119. Let's just look over there for a minute. Psalm 119 and verse 18. He says, Open now mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Yeah, the first words, open my eyes. God has to open our minds to understanding the Word of God. It doesn't just come by reading alone. We must read, and then we must obey, and then understanding will follow obedience. That's how it works. That's how it takes, that's how it operates. That's how God operates. That's what he wants to see from us. Daniel said, in the end time, the wise will understand. Well, we're the wise, aren't we? Because we've been given God's Spirit, been called. Look at the abundance of knowledge we have access to today. It never ends. It never ceases to amaze me. There's no end to it. But God insists on obedience before he's going to grant us perfect understanding. Many righteous men and women have desired to know what we know today. They often think about that. They just don't have any idea. They'd like to know what the answer is, where the answers are, but they don't. What an incredible blessing that is. Absolute incredible blessing that we know. Psalm chapter 1. Let's go right back to the beginning of Psalms for a moment. Psalm chapter 1. And beginning in verse 1. He says, blessed. There's that word again. I'd like to read that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse number 2. But his delight, your delight, my delight, is in the law of God, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. Do we meditate on it day and night? Do we have trouble sometimes doing that? But you know what I mean. We think about it. Things go through our minds. Am I doing the right thing? Am I on the right track? Am I where God wants me to be? Am I walking the right path? These are all natural things that we do as human beings. The world is filled with people that walk with the ungodly and learn their ways and learn their doings. And that's the way it is today. The nations leading each other down the path of no return. If we meditate on God's word day and night, then we can truly bring every thought into captivity to Christ. And that's what we have to do. As we develop the mind of Christ, we grow to become like Jesus Christ, that he can reside in us and we can be following in his footsteps. And what then will happen if we do that? What will happen? Notice verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and so whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's for you and me, brethren. That's for you and me. Awesome, isn't it? Because you know something? When you look at the blessings of God, along with the blessing, there's a promise. They go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. And he's talking here about bringing forth spiritual fruit. Lots of spiritual fruit. That's what God wants to see. That's what we have to have. Mr. Armstrong mentioned that time and time again. Bringing forth spiritual fruit. Fruit unto righteousness. Oh, what a wonderful joy, you know, this Christian life can be. And at the same time, there can be misery and heartache for people with so many things that might affect them. But here we have the fact that God is there. Jesus Christ is there. We have the plan. We have the purpose for our being. We have a great future ahead. We've got to grab hold of it. Hang on to that. Never let go of that. And let nothing dissuade us or push us off the mark. As tough as that may be on occasion, we can do it. Because we've got help from the greatest power in the universe. Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8. I was watching a documentary that was showing about the Hubble spacecraft. Hubble telescope, sorry. And they were showing how deep it was going into space and the magnificent things it was showing. And as I thought about that, I said, you know, they're trying to see to find out about life and about what's beyond. And they would love nothing more than to be able to, you know, see God and see something, see some purpose out there which they can't see right now. But what an incredible creation is out there. That's all waiting. All waiting for us to do what God hasn't done, wants us to do with it. Dress it. Keep it. Wow, it's going to be awesome, brethren. It's going to be truly awesome. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1. He says, set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant, and they have trespassed against my law. Here's a fact for you, which many in the UK are probably already aware of. I was reading about this. There are more atheists and witches in the UK, United Kingdom today, than Christians. Many of the churches in England have been sold and turned into pubs and cafes. Amazing. I also heard a report on the radio a couple of days ago that there are 8,000 churches in North America. I'm not sure exactly where, but the U.S. and Canada, obviously. 8,000 churches that will be closing down within the next 2 years. Amazing. 8,000. Where is God? He's not there. Because, as Hosea said, they transgressed my covenant and they trespassed against my laws. Those are pretty powerful words. Pretty powerful words. I can remember being at a church in Scotland the last time we were over. It was for a christening for one of my wife's nieces, and they wanted us to be there with the new baby, so we went along to observe. And as we were there, the priest was going through a few things. I looked around to see that the entourage that we came in with the family was about maybe 15 people. Of the people who were going to that church on a regular basis, you know how many were there in the neighborhood, the surrounding area? Maybe 6. Great big hall, organ playing and whatnot. Virtually empty. That'll probably get sold into a pub or a cafe someday as well. Here is a prophecy and a fact. Notice verse 2. He says, I have written to him great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Yeah, they paid no mind. They transgressed my law. they trespassed against me. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't heed. You know, England and the United States and Canada have done away with the law of God, haven't they? We know that national punishment is coming upon our peoples. I don't wish for that to come on them when I think about it, but it has to come. Otherwise, how are they ever going to learn? How are they going to be turned around? How are they going to be put so low that now we can help pull them back up again as God works with them? And we're there to help them, help Christ do that. Do we see the incredible blessings that God has given to us in His church? In the midst of trials and difficulties, we can see God in the picture. We can feel His presence. We know He's with us. Add them up in your own life, your own personal life. It'll be a long list of blessings you should be grateful for. A long list. Think about this. This is a blessing. You can pray to God anytime, anywhere, standing, walking, driving, lying down. It doesn't matter, although the best position is on our knees. But we can do that. We can do that. How wondrously blessed we have been, brethren. We have heard. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. You know, I often hear on the radio, different news stations I listen to, and they'll interview a few people, mostly younger people, you know, teens, 20s, early 30s. People say, well, I'm out there this time, you know, I'm trying to find myself. No, really? One commentator said, what are you trying to find? Don't you know who you are? Are they trying to find themselves? Am I gay? Am I lesbian? Am I trans? Am I this? Am I that? Come on, folks. Come on. And I think about our lives in the church. We know who we are before God. We know who we are. You know who you are. Your life has a purpose. You're not finding yourself. You're making yourself better. You're growing and changing and overcoming. Yeah, you know, your life has an incredible purpose. You have a calling. You have God's Spirit. You have the Word of God. Those are blessings, brethren. Incredible, absolute blessings. Capital B. Psalm chapter 71. Let's notice Psalm chapter 71. We'll stay here for a few verses. Then we'll move on to different areas. Psalm 71. In verse 12. Psalm 71 and verse 12. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to my help. Make haste for my help. Be with me. Don't stray away from me. And let's see here. Verse 13. Let them be confounded and confused that are my adversaries. They're adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. You have the Spirit of God. Brethren, when people say, well, I think God's not with me anymore, he's strayed off somewhere. I don't think he's close by. Wait a second. I don't want to hear talk like that. Let me ask you something. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? Yes. If you have the Spirit of God in you, how close can he be? How much closer can he get? You may have temporarily stepped away from God. God has not stepped away from you. Never. Didn't he promise? I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you. I'll honor you. I'll bless you. I'll help you. Yes, 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 right? How could someone think that? God has left me. He's not here anymore. He's right there. You've got his Spirit, part of him, infused with your brain, into your mind and your heart. He's right there. He's a part of you. Wow. How much closer can that be? Think about that. Think about that. Verse 13. It says, let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. God will do that. Is anyone seeking to harm you right now? Well, probably not. Probably not. But what about in the future? If it happens, God is right there with us. Right? He's right there. That's a blessing you can grab hold of and hang on to. And no one can take that away from you. Nobody. Verse 14. Let's notice verse 14 through 16 here. Verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Do we do that? Verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Now, don't let a day go by that we don't consider our God the Father and pray to Him and Jesus Christ our Savior. We don't know what as it says here, to number our days. I don't know how many days I've got left. Hundreds of days? Hundreds of years? No. A few years? I hope so. I don't know. But guess what? I don't worry about it. I don't sit back and think about it. It doesn't matter. I'm not in charge. God is. He knows. That's how we have to be. That's how we have to think. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord, and I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. What a God we serve. You know, brethren, the strength that we have is spiritual strength, so that we don't succumb to the things of this world. Because they're out there waiting to grab us. Satan's working all the time, working hard, wanting to pull us away, wanting to get us off track, wanting to get us thinking that there's something wrong here within the churches, and there is in some cases, obviously, but with doctrines, things that we know are cut in concrete, maybe they're not right, because the minister said something that made me wonder. That kind of stuff goes on all the time, and there are some things that happened recently. I won't even mention it now. It never stops. It's a blessing that we've got the Spirit of God that we can be protected from the things that happen to this world and the pulls and Satan working us continually. That's a blessing. Think of all those blessings, brethren. It's amazing. Just amazing. Verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Thy wondrous works. Verse 18. So, no, now also when I am old and gray, O God, forsake me not. Forsake me not. Don't leave me. Don't leave me on my own. And like I said, some people think that he's left them. Some people think that he's not there. Where's that thought come from? That's not from God or Jesus Christ. That's from the dark side that wants to pull you away. To say, yeah, he doesn't care. Don't worry about him. Forget about it. Do something else in your life. No. No, 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 no. Wrong. Draw closer. He's right there. He's right there. Knowing God means an endless trail, brethren, of profound blessings. Don't ever forget that. The day of Pentecost is just around the corner, just ahead. And we are reminded of the day the Holy Spirit was poured out. Having His Spirit is probably, without a doubt, in my mind, the greatest blessing of them all. Without that, we can do nothing. Right? We'll never understand. The Bible will just be a mumble jumble. We'll put it down in frustration. No, we understand. God's leading us, guiding us, directing us, supporting us, giving us help. Wow, it's incredible. We're so fortunate. So fortunate. Matthew chapter 5. And it mentions here, as you know, blessings that are wonderful blessings. Fantastic blessings to understand in the times of trouble that we're living in. And we're living in times of incredible trouble. And there's more trouble to come. There's more issues ahead. And we shudder to think about it sometimes. Well, how can it get worse? And it gets worse. Amazing. Notice something, though, Brent, that's key and critical here to comprehend and to let it soak into your mind. With every blessing, there is a promise. God cannot lie, so therefore, every promise is true. Every promise is true. The day of its fulfillment for each of us, we don't know. Maybe tomorrow, maybe a year from now, maybe not till the world tomorrow. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The fact is, it's true. It's going to happen. With wonderful blessings. Let's notice over in Matthew 3 for a second here. Matthew chapter 3. I know we've been through these before. Mr. Bowles did a whole series on them. I won't even begin to talk about that aspect of it. He covered it in real detail. But I want to just look at the blessing and what follows as a result. The blessing and the promise. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that something? We're not full of our own righteousness or haughty walking around. We're really something. We know we're nothing before God. But we're called and we're chosen. There's a plan there. And we're going to be a part of that plan in the kingdom of God. Verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Don't you mourn when you look around you in this society? We do. You shake my head sometimes. These poor children, this family, this nation, all the things that are happening. Satan has control. This is not God's world. And we need to be comforted with God's word when these things occur, when these things happen. There's lots of them happening, and they'll be continuing to happen. Blessed are the meek, verse 5, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek does not mean weak, does it? A meek and mild-mannered person can be worked with, can be encouraged, can be led, can be guided, can take instruction. A person like that is blessed. And they shall inherit the earth. Wow. Beautiful promise. Blessed are those in verse 6 who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Yeah, we want to be righteous, filled with righteousness. We don't want to have evil thoughts. We don't want to have things that trouble us and bring sin, bring things that are wrong. You ever say to yourself, I don't want to sin anymore? You know, even if it's a small thing. It's sin. I don't want to do that. And God wants to hear that from us because he knows we're trying. He knows we're struggling, and he'll help us. Yeah, God will fill us with that righteousness that we want. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Merciful. Are we merciful in our thinking, how we approach others, how we consider others, how we talk to others? What we may say about others, is there mercy there? If that's the case, then God's going to show mercy to us. And we want him to, don't we? Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Yeah, a heart that's no guile, you know, no evil thoughts, nothing rotten and untoward, nothing of Satan, of his ways. But pure as best we can with God's help. And we're going to see God if we're like that. We're going to inherit the kingdom. We're going to inherit the world. We're going to see God. I mean, blessings along with promises. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Yeah, peacemakers this world needs, not more troublemakers. We want to be called the sons of God, don't we? But we are. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And oftentimes we do get persecuted when it's not our fault. These things can happen. We can get jabs here and jabs there, you know, with regard to the way we live our life and so forth, and ridiculed. I remember one man I worked for, he was a Jewish zillionaire, and a pretty decent guy for the most part, but driven, of course, by one thing only, money and power. And he used to come into my office on a Friday afternoon. He seemed like he did it every week just to take a shot at me. And he would say, John, it's 4 o'clock. isn't it time you got going home? The Sabbath's going to start soon. He wasn't keeping it. And the guys in the room were having a meeting every Friday, and they kind of look at me, and I didn't explain it. I wasn't going to say anything. I just, yeah, I will order me, thanks. And then he walks away. Just a little jab. Now, not something that was evil, but just to remind you that, you know, you're a little bit different, and you're doing things. Maybe I reminded him that he should be doing it. Anyway, doesn't matter. What I'm giving today, brethren, is really a preview of Pentecost, if you will. It'll give us something to think about. Every wonderful thing about God and His Word, everything He does for us. He does for part of His purpose, for His great plan, of which He wants us to be a part of. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're in this organization. That's why we're doing a work. That's why we have repented and we're changing, we're growing, looking to God. We want to be in His family. We want to help. We want to encourage. We want to support. That's what I want to do. Isn't that what you want to do? If God watches over us, brethren, it is a blessing. If God hears our prayers, it is a blessing. Since God called us, it's a blessing. To receive His Holy Spirit is a blessing. To understand His Word is a blessing. Think about it. Count your blessings one by one. You won't be able to number them all. That's good. That's okay. There are so many we can't even get our minds around sometimes, I'm sure. I know I can't. Let's look at some specific things here. Specific blessings. And always remember that having God's Spirit and knowing the Word of God is an ongoing blessing, actively living with you. Okay? It's actively living with you. If it's not, it should be. Psalm chapter 10. Psalm chapter 10. And beginning in verse 12. Arise, O God, O God, lift. Am I in the right chapter here? Yes. Lift up thine hand and forget not the humble. Verse 13, wherefore does the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require an account. No, I can get away with whatever I want to get away with. God's not going to pay any attention to me. No, don't be so sure about it. Don't be so sure. Verse 14, thou hast seen it, for you behold mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor commits himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. What a wonderful God. He's concerned about the humble, the meek, the fatherless, the poor. He's concerned and he's there to help, as he has done so much for each and every one of us over many years. Verse 17. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. I like that verse. It's comforting. God does not forget the humble. He does not. He sees your trouble and he sees your grief. He will cause his ear to hear when you go before him. He'll listen. I've heard some people say, as I said earlier, God is just not listening anymore. No, he doesn't hear me. He doesn't care. And Satan will feed those ideas and feed them and embellish them and make them more real to you. No, he cares. He loves us. He loves you. We just have to appeal to him over and over, asking God for the help and the strength. God is listening. He hears. When you're troubled, he sees it. Amazing. Just amazing. How wonderful. Yeah, he hears your cries. Verse 17 says that you've heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart and cause your ear to hear. I think that's very comforting. And remember, there's blessings and promises, and God cannot lie, so therefore the promise is true. He hears your cries. Great blessings from God to you and to me. Think of the wonderful blessings mentioned over in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's turn over there for a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's have a look at a few things. Ephesians chapter 3. If I'm faltering a little bit here with some of the verses, it's because of my eyesight that's been giving me trouble. But I'm working my way through it. If you'll be patient with me, I'll appreciate that. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And brethren, God is creating a vast family that will span all the ages of mankind. And notice what a blessing will follow. Notice what a blessing is in verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We have his Spirit in the inner man. You have his Spirit in your inner man. You have his Spirit in your inner woman's mind and heart. You know what I mean. This is talking about all of us. Yeah, that's how we grow and understand. That's how we can move away and overcome and deal with the evils that permeate this world that we don't want any part of. Yet we see it all around us. But we're strengthened with the might of his Spirit in the inner in the inner man, in our hearts and minds. We can deal with it. We can fight it. Because we've got the power in us to do so. Not by ourselves. I can't do anything on my own. I'm the first one to tell you that. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. It dwells in our hearts and minds. Christ in you. The hope of glory. God is doing his work. People say, well, what's God doing anyway? We never, you know, what's he doing? We know what Christ is there for us. What's God doing? Oh, I'll tell you what he's doing. He's building. He's busy. He's actively working. He's building. He's building you into a spiritual temple. That's what he's doing. Building you into a spiritual temple. And I can imagine when we think about our human nature, and I think about me, think about you, how easy is it for him? Because we're not easy to deal with, are we? We're stubborn. We're difficult. We're human. And we fall. We falter. We don't sometimes express the strength that we should. Nor we do show the thankfulness for the blessings that we have. It happens on occasion because we're human. I'm just pointing it out. Verse 18. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. To know more about the plan of God. We can know more than any other generation in history. We do know more than any other generation in history. That is a blessing God has given to us. Incredibly so. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, all knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. That's quite a statement. Christ said, I love you as the Father has loved me. The Father loved Christ, but look at all the difficulties he went through. Look at them all. That he was filled with the fullness of God. I don't think we're going to really understand that until the resurrection. How can those who say to us, and we've heard this before in the church, mostly on the Protestant side of the ledger, who will say, we will never be sons and daughters of God. How can they answer verse 19? And because of verse 19, he says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. How do they answer that? How can they answer that? They can't. Let me tell you why they can't. If you're going to be filled with the fullness of God, you've got to have the same existence as God. Not in power or authority, but as living forever. You get it? The people say, well, you can't be sons and daughters of God. No, the one, verse 19 says that we're going to be. and we'll be filled with the fullness of God. Well, how is that possible? Well, there's a process. And we're going to become the way he is, because we're going to be living forever. We won't have his power or his authority, but we're going to exist as he does, and we'll be filled with all that fullness. Marvelous, brethren, absolutely marvelous. Remember, every promise is a blessing. Verse 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, and you've got great power working in you, as I do, his glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. Yeah, so be it. Wow, awesome stuff. How great is that? You know, brother, it is almost, when you stop and think about it critically, unfathomable, right? That's a blessing beyond description. And that's what we're going to receive. Wow. That's all I can say. All according to the power that works within us, God's Holy Spirit, the blessings that we have. Blessings that we have because of that, having the Spirit of God is an incredible blessing. Understanding his word is a blessing. Knowing about his Sabbath and holy days, another blessing. Knowing about the prophecies, another blessing. Above all that we ask or think, that's a blessing as well. Truly amazing is our God. Truly amazing is our God in Jesus Christ, who sits there at his right hand, ready to intercede, to help us out, to lift us up, carry us forward. We are so fortunate. So fortunate. Pentecost is going to remind us of that incredible blessing of having God's Spirit. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. It's very interesting as we go through some of these verses. Every promise is a blessing. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. It's from Almighty God, the eternal righteous one. Preparations of the heart and the answers of the tongue. Yeah, the right answers, the right mind, the spirit of a sound mind. You know, it all comes from God. It doesn't come from us. Who gave you life? Huh? Who gave you life? Who gave you thought? Who made it possible to have language? Isn't it amazing that through language and in our minds and hearts, God has given us the ability to understand? And with God's Holy Spirit, he has given us understanding of spiritual things. How fabulous is that? Verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs. The Lord weighs the spirits. Yeah, he's interested in what's in your heart. Where are you really coming from, young man, young woman? That's what he's interested in. Here's a promise in verse 3. Promise in verse 3. He says, commit your ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Isn't that something? Your thoughts shall be established. Your thoughts will be established. What an incredible promise and a blessing we have. We have control of our minds. We have control of our emotions. If we want to. Sometimes we let the emotions get away on us. We've got to get a grip on that. We've got to pull them in. Rein those horses in. Slow down. Stop. Take a look at what we're thinking, which way we're going, where our minds are. God will give us, he'll establish our thoughts. Lean onto him. Pray for that strength. Pray for that blessing to be brought forward in your heart and mind. Controlling of our minds, controlling of our emotions, and the ability to cast out those fleeting thoughts and actions that will come to haunt us on occasion. Through prayer, through God's Holy Spirit, we have an amazing answer to all of life's issues and difficulties. Not always the way we might want it to turn out, but God is looking at this the long term. Where he wants us to fit in, what he wants us to become. It's truly awesome, the plan of God. That's all worked out through his holy days, which are poo-hooed, which are spat on, which are stepped upon by society and by the great Protestant world that thinks it's a bunch of nonsense. Verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, even the wicked for the days of evil. You know, God knows what he's doing. You were made for God's purpose. And some have said, I've heard people say, well, my life has no purpose. My life has no purpose. I can't do anything. I'm not a deacon. I'll never be an elder. I'm nothing. Woe is me. Wait a second. We talked about this with people before. Your life has awesome purpose and meaning. Yeah, awesome purpose and meaning. And being a deacon or an elder is not the end of the world. I can remember when I was ordained an elder some years ago, and there was a couple of people that weren't too happy. Okay, I understand. Whatever the reason was, maybe they didn't feel I was in a position to even accept a position like that. And I actually didn't want it. I said, no, I'm not really interested. They said, well, you don't have any choice. So, you know, what happens with people when these things occur? I said to one man, if you want this job I've got, take it. There's no glory attached to it. He looked at me. There's no glory. I don't walk down, people fall down in front of me. No, it's tough. You take a lot of flack. You have to turn the other cheek on occasion. Okay, that's fair enough. I'm not leading the troop here. God is. Christ is in charge. I'll do what I can to please and honor him. And if you want this job, then you take it. You make yourself ready, and God will honor you with it. Anyway, those things happen. We were made for God's purpose. Your life has tremendous meaning and tremendous purpose. And God, the great God, is going to reveal that when the time is right in your life, and what he wants, what he sees for you. Verse 17, let's see here. The highway of the righteous, the highway of the upright, is to depart from evil, and he that keepeth his way preserves his soul. And he goes on and says, pride goes before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 19, blessed is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. It's a blessing that we know the difference between good and evil, and we can make the right decision. I can remember many years ago, I worked for another gentleman who was, well, let's say that he was motivated by one thing only. It's a five-letter word beginning with M. That's all he wanted. And people would come to me, people that worked for me would say, well, is he ever going to get his comeuppance? I mean, the way he treats people, the things he's done, this, that, whatever it might be. And it was all true. He was not a very nice man. And I said, it's going to happen someday. I don't know when. I said, I probably won't be here when it does, but it's going to happen to him. With the gold that was inlaid around the banister in his home, with his fancy sports cars and everything else. And then not too long after I had left, I got about a year after I left, nothing to do with me, but God's word came true. The haughty fell into a ditch he dug for himself. He made nothing but money at the expense of others. Finally, the business was taken away from him. He lost his home. He lost his fancy car. And all of his pride was gone. And I don't like to see people hurt, but in his case, I didn't have a whole lot of sympathy, nor was I crying any tears. He'll learn someday. He'll learn. But God's word is true. They can't be broken. Now, when you put all these things together, there's certain things that occur, certain things that can happen. Notice Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 here. And verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall be added unto you. The spiritual fulfillment of that, brethren, is eternal life, isn't it, for us? Verse 3. Let no mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. Make sure you understand them. This is done with the Spirit of God. Notice this blessing, verse 4. So you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. We want to please people, others in society, obviously, but that's not the ultimate. It's pleasing God. And if we please God, then we will, by the way we live our life, we will please others. Isn't that what people want? Understanding and blessings and favor? Yes. But without obeying God, you can't have it. Memo to society. Without obeying God, you're never going to have peace and tranquility. You're never going to find truth. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Yeah, don't pay any attention to what you might think personally. It's what does God say? What does His Word say? Verse 6. In thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. There's a blessing. Do as He says. He'll be with us. That takes the worry out of it, brethren. God hasn't gone anywhere. He's right here. He's with you. He's listening. He hears your cry. He hears your pain. He sees your pain, your grief. He's here. Watch out for this trap. Verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Yeah, you have to be very careful here as human beings, as Christians. Be careful of making judgments that you may think are right. Yes, they should be doing this and they should be doing that. They should be thinking this and they should be... Wait a second. Is that God's way? It may not be God's way. Be careful. That's a trap we fall into as human beings, or some do more so than others, and get themselves into trouble. It can cause all kinds of issues. Just take it easy. Slow down. But notice the blessings that will come. Verse 8. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Yeah, strength, and power in the marrow that makes the blood. And he says here in verse 9, honor the Lord with your substance, with all of your substance, with all of your life, and with the first fruits of your increase. And if we do that, verse 10, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Ah, great. Chardonnay or Cabernet, whatever you want, it'll be there. Tremendous blessings will follow, brethren. In the book of Proverbs, the promises and the blessings go on and on and on. And we can't look at any more of them. But they're all there. You can read them and discuss them and look at them in your own life, not on your own time. Let's turn to Isaiah. Book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim victory and liberty to the captives, and opening of the prisons of them that are bound. And many people are bound today, psychologically, spiritually, bound and tied up, wrapped up, and held captive by Satan. We're going to be there someday to unloose all those ties that bind people up. We're going to help. We're going to loose them up. We're going to give them health and strength. The world's filled with shattered, scattered, and destroyed people, all because of wrongdoing. With wrongdoing comes wrong thinking. And with wrong thinking and wrongdoing comes wrong actions, and comes wars and rumors of wars and sin and drugs and you name it. It goes on and on and on. There is no hope for them in this world. Let me make that perfectly clear. There isn't. The way the world is, there's no hope for them. This doesn't matter, because there is hope beyond this world. There's hope in the resurrection. That's when they'll be helped. Right now, we can't do it. In the kingdom of God, we will participate in healing the brokenhearted, releasing the captives and the destitute. There is little we can do right now. The blessings God has given to us are spiritual. It's marvelous, really, when you think about it. You know, think about this. What were you captive to before God called you? You ever think about that? What were you captive to before God called you? We were all captive to something, right? Real comfort, brethren, comes from the Spirit of God. That's a fantastic blessing. We're going to be able to apply that in the world tomorrow and show people this is the way of the living God. We're going to teach you His truth. You're going to come to understand Him and to know Him and to love Him and to obey Him. And from that comes blessings. Let's do it. We're going to be there to help them. Verse 3. To point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. How very true that is, that He might be glorified. Not us. God says that, what are you going to do for me? Huh? To mankind, what are you going to do for me? I made you. I gave you everything that you have. He's made everything on the earth. I gave you the thought process. I created the wonderful hands that you have. You know, I've given you the ability to think and to design and to do things and to progress. And he concludes by saying, what are you going to do for me? Huh? What are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? Notice Isaiah 66 in verse 1. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. That's okay. 66 in verse 1. He says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you'll build for me? Yeah, where is the place of my rest? What are you going to do for me, O man, that I can't do for myself? The heavens are mine, the glorious heavens that you see through the Hubble telescope. And the earth is my footstool. That's the greatness of our God and the magnitude of His plan and His blessings. All I can say is, wow, what a God. What a God. You know, brethren, when you look at all that we have to be thankful for, everything that we have is as a result of what God's done for us. Everything. Everything comes from God. But God says, unto this one will I look, to him who is a poor, contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. That's why we have the Old Testament. The evils in the world are as a result of mankind doing their own thing, going their own way, and rejecting God. They don't tremble at His word. They don't. John chapter 14. Another scripture here to kind of wind things down. John chapter 14. And verse 21. He says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Living by every word of God. Not some of them, not part of them, not the most important, not whatever one's most convenient, but all of them. That is the separating barrier God uses. Right? That's it. If you're not obeying the commandments of God, and you don't have God's Spirit, you are none of His. It's as simple as that. Sorry, Protestants, that's the way it goes. God, that's what God says, not me. We are truly blessed with so many things, brethren. We have reviewed some of them. We've looked at some of the promises, great promises, and even greater blessings that God has bestowed on us. What a wonderful opportunity we have as God's people to grab hold of those things and hang on to them. God's not left. It's not that he's sitting back not listening. He hears everything. He's involved in everything. He's in your life. He wants to be in your life. He wants to be more so in your life. And that's how it's going to be. And he will. Reach out. Obey. Someday he's going to bestow on all humanity the very great blessings that he's bestowed on us. How fortunate we are. How wonderful it is. Brethren, let's be truly thankful and rejoice in the great plan of God. Have a wonderful Pentecost tomorrow.